Well, in a recent ABC report, we heard about Brianna and John and how coronavirus is giving them sleepless nights and stress-filled days. They've both lost their jobs. And describing what she is feeling, Brianna said, "You constantly feel like there's a weight on your chest. You're trying to get a deep breath, but it's just not there." They are not alone. Mental health hotlines have seen record demand since the coronavirus lockdown. Anxiety is gripping us all, you know, that feeling of worry, nervousness, of unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. It's impacting so many around the world. Of course, anxiety is not a modern phenomenon. Listen, for example, to the language of the ancient Jewish lament song, Psalm 42. "My tears have been my food day and night. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" And what about Jesus as he spoke to the disciples the night before he was to be crucified? He said to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be affected by anxiety." Yes, anxiety is real. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And in particular, how Jesus meets us in the midst of our anxiety. Several weeks ago, we started exploring how John, in his gospel, his account of the life and ministry of Jesus, recorded how Jesus identified himself as "I am Jehovah," the eternal creator God who entered into a relationship with the Jews in ancient times and who is present now, God with us today. And so we've heard him speaking to us, "I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life." And this morning we are going to hear another, "I am the way, the truth and the life." Let me read for you from John 14. John 14, verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." In the context of John 14, a lot is going on. Jesus has told the disciples he's about to be betrayed. He is going away. They cannot go with him. And if that wasn't enough, Peter is going to deny him. Yes, even Peter. And sitting behind all this is the growing opposition of the Jews and the fact that Jesus has said he's going to be killed. Understandably, the disciples are feeling troubled. And whether they recognized it or not, we don't know. But Jesus certainly did. And he speaks directly into their lives. And what Jesus said to them is what he says to us today. Have faith in God. Have faith in me. Trust me. Remember from last week, Psalm 143, Lord, I hide myself in you. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. Lord, I hide myself in you. How does God respond to our anxiety? He gives us himself and invites us to trust him. In fact, that is how God responds to every need we have as human beings. To every situation we encounter. I love the way Roy Hessen put it. Jesus is presented in Scripture not for our academic contemplation or even our delight, but for our desperate need as sinners and weaklings. As human beings, we have been created to be with God, to enjoy his presence, and in that place to know God and all that he is for his creation. Yes, even in those anxious moments, God's word to us is, I am here. Trust me. For the Jews, the idea of God being present, being here and now, was portrayed in numerous ways throughout the history. And so as we read the Old Testament, we see the unfolding story of the land, the city and the temple as the dwelling place of God. But with the coming of Jesus, these shadows of God's presence faded into the background and became redundant. Listen to how John described earlier in his gospel the coming of Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, in Jesus, God is present. And when Jesus speaks of my Father's house here in John 14, he is picking up on this rich imagery of the place where God dwells, where God is present, where we can be with God and enjoy his love and peace, his care and provision. Put yourself in the shoes of the disciples as they heard this. They had seen God in the face of Jesus. They had enjoyed his presence. But now Jesus is saying he's leaving and they cannot go with him. They cannot be with him. The house where they, as it were, hung out together is about to be destroyed. And what does Jesus say to them? Don't worry, I'm going to sort it out. I'm going to do everything needed so that you can enjoy my presence, so you can be with me. Yes, all of you. There will be enough space for all who believe in me. And what was it Jesus went and did? How did he go and prepare a place for them? How did he ensure they would be with him, be where he is? He went to the cross. The Bible speaks of three times when Jesus was to come back after his death on the cross. Two have already happened and one is yet to happen. And interestingly, all of them are about what Jesus speaks of here, a place for you. Be with me. Be where I am. The first was the resurrection. When Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated sin and death once and for all. And he opened the door to the eternal kind of life God has for his children. The house, as it were, has been finished. And so we can say with Paul and remind ourselves, as Paul spoke, said in Ephesians, God raised us. You and I who have believed in Jesus, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Where are we? We're with the Father. We're with him in Christ Jesus. And the second coming was the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Later in John chapter 14, Jesus goes on to speak of the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's the context of what we're looking at here this morning. John 14, verse 18. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Verse 20, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. In the coming of the Holy Spirit, on that day, you will realize something. You will understand something. I'm in my Father and you are in me. Verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and you will will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God present with us here, now, today. And then the third coming of Jesus after the cross was what the Apostle Paul described in 1 Thessalonians as the coming of the Lord, when those who have believed in Jesus will be caught up together. Listen to Paul's language, to be with the Lord. To be with the Lord forever. And John describes it in this way in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Now listen to this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. God's response to whatever it is we face in life is himself. As the psalmist put it, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. God with us now, God with us in the future. And so what do we need to hear today? How do we enjoy the presence of God? The answer is simple. And as you read John 14, certainly as I read John 14, I get the sense there may have been a little piece of frustration in Jesus. John 14, verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Yes, friends, there is no other way into the presence of God apart from Jesus. He is the way, the road that takes us there. He is the truth that declares, yes, it is possible. A way has been opened. God wants you to enjoy his presence. He is the life of God himself with us, us enjoying God's life. God present with you. In one way, we can describe what it means to be a Christian is to be people who know God with them. God here today. God holding my hand. And so when we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, confess your sin and turn to Jesus, we are inviting people, we are being invited into a relationship with God himself to know God. To say I know God is not arrogance. It's not an indicator of a mental illness. It's simply taking hold of the promise of God's word and standing on that truth, the truth revealed in scriptures. Hear it, friends. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, know Jesus, you will know my Father as well. Yes, in my Father's house there are many rooms. There's room for all. Room for all. You will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Let's explore this some more next week. But for now, let me pray. Father, I thank you that your heart in creating this world, in creating us, is that we might know you. That as human beings, we might enjoy the presence, the favor, the blessing, the goodness of the eternal Creator God, the one who has no beginning or end, the one who is and always has been. And Lord, we are left speechless at your goodness. All that we need, you are the giver, our provider. And we fall at your feet and worship you today. And Lord, we acknowledge, as we've already remembered this morning, that the reality of humanity is separation, brokenness, pain and struggle because of the sin that is in this world, because of our sin, my sin. But we thank you today for Jesus, that you, Lord Jesus Christ, have done everything possible that we might know God, that we might enjoy a relationship with you, God. And so, Jesus, we simply cling to you. No system, no religious acts, simply believe in you. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your goodness to us. And we praise your name. Amen.